Hi, this is Dana Gardner, Principal Analyst at Inter Arbor Solutions, and you're listening to Briefings Direct. Today we present a sponsored podcast discussion in conjunction with the Open Group Conference held in San Diego the week of February 7th, 2011. We've assembled a panel to examine the current state of enterprise architecture and to analyze some new findings on the subject from a recently completed Infosys annual survey. We'll see how the architects themselves are defining the EA team concept, how enterprise architects are dealing with impact and engagement in their enterprises, and uncover the latest definitions of EA deliverables and objectives. We'll also look at where the latest trends around hot topics like cloud and mobile are pushing the enterprise architects towards a new future. Here with us to delve into the current state of enterprise architecture and the survey results, please join me now in welcoming Len Feshkins, Vice President of Skills and Capabilities at the Open Group. Welcome, Len.
Thanks, Dana.
Nick Hill, Principal Enterprise Architect at Infosys Technologies. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Dave Hornford, Architecture Practice Principal at Integritas, as well as Chair of the Open Group's Architecture Forum. Welcome, Dave.
Welcome. Thanks for being here.
And Chris Ford, Vice President, Enterprise Architecture and Membership Capabilities for the Open Group.
Good morning.
And we're also, we have a large group here today. We're joined by Andrew Guitarte. He's the Enterprise Business Architect for Internet Services at Wells Fargo Bank. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
And Ahmed Fatah, he's the Executive IT Architect in the Financial Services Sector for IBM Australia. Welcome.
Thank you, Dana.
Nick Hill, let's go to you first. You have conducted an annual survey. You've just put together your latest results. You've asked enterprise architects what's going on in their business. What's the high takeaways? What jumped out at you this year?
Well, there are several major takeaways. There were some things that were different about this year's survey. One being that we introduced the notion of hot topics, so we had some questions around cloud computing. And as well, we took a more forward-looking view in terms of not so much what has been transpiring with enterprise architectures, you know, over the past year or two since the last survey, but what are they looking forward to do, looking to go forward with in terms of their endeavors. And as well, given sort of the economic turmoil of the past 2 to 3 years, we've asked some questions about that. We did notice that in terms of the team makeup, a lot of the sort of the constituents of the enterprise architecture group are pretty much still the same, hailing from largely sort of the IT core enterprise IT group. We looked at the engagement and impacts that they've had on their organizations. And as well, whether they've been able to establish the value that we've noticed that enterprise architects have been trying to accomplish over the past 3 or 4 years. This was our fifth annual survey. It was started by a gentleman by the name of Sohail Aziz. And again, some of the findings, you know, we did try to do some comparative results from previous surveys, and we found some of the things were the same. But there are some things that are shifting in terms of enterprise architecture. I think more and more the business is taking hold of the value that enterprise architects bring to the table. And as well, they've been able to survive, the enterprise architects, some of the economic troubled times. And some companies have even increased their investment in enterprise architecture. But I'm sure that there was a wide range of topics, and I'm sure that we'll get to more of those as the discussion goes on.
Okay. One of the things that you looked at was the EA team. Are we defining who these people are differently? Has that been shifting over the past few years?
Essentially, no. Pretty much, if you took a look at this year's survey compared to the 2007-2008 surveys, largely they've come from core IT. With some increase from the business side, business architects, and some increase in project managers. Largely, the leader of the enterprise architecture group is still reporting through the IT sort of chain, either through to the CIO or the CTO.
Mm-hmm. Dave Hornford.
Are you seeing that the leader of the architecture team is an architect or a manager? The reason I'm asking, we're seeing an increasing shift in our client base to not having an architect lead the architecture team.
Well, that was very interesting. We didn't exactly point to that kind of determination. We wanted to see who they actually reported into. That would help us get some indication of how well they would be able to sell their value within the enterprise if you're largely aligned more with the IT or more with the business side functions.
Chris Ford, you've been observing a lot of these issues. Is this a particularly dynamic time, or is this a time where things are settling out? Is there any way to characterize the way in which the enterprise architect occupation or professional definition is involved with the organization? Where are we on this?
Well, actually, I'll defer commentary on the professional aspect of things to my colleague, Len. In terms of the dynamics of EA, I think that... you know, it seems to me that we're constantly trying to justify why enterprise architects should exist in any organization. That's actually no different than most other positions are being reviewed on an ongoing basis because of what the value proposition is for the organization. I think what I'm seeing is, though, in Asia is a number of academic organizations, universities, looking for an opportunity to certify enterprise architects, and a number of organizations initiating, still through the IT organization, but a very high level CIO, CTO level in the organization, into the business, the value proposition of an architected approach to business problems. So I think that what I'm seeing in Asia is an increasing recognition of the need for enterprise architecture, but also a continuing question of, okay, if we were going to do this, what's the value proposition? Which I think is just a reasonable conversation to be having on a day-to-day basis anyway.
Right, so Chris is pointing to the fact that business transformation is an undercurrent to all of these things, and many different occupations and processes and categories of work, workforce and even workflow are being reevaluated. So Len, how is the EA job or function playing into that? Is this now an opportunity for it to start to become more of a business transformation occupation?
Yeah, I think that's when you compare enterprise architecture to all the other disciplines that make up a modern enterprise, it's the new kid on the block. I mean, enterprise architecture as a discipline is maybe 20 years old, depending on what you count as the formative event, whereas most of the other disciplines that the functions that are part of a modern enterprise are at least hundreds of years old. So this is both a real challenge and a real opportunity. So I think the other functions have a pretty good understanding of what their business case is. I mean, they've been around for a long time, and the case that they can make is pretty familiar, and mostly they just have to argue in terms of more efficient or more effective delivery of their results. For enterprise architecture, the value proposition pretty much has to be reconstructed from whole cloth. I mean, because it didn't really exist, and the value of the function is still not that well understood throughout most of the business. So. I say this is an opportunity as well as a challenge because it sort of forces the maturing of the discipline, unlike some of these older disciplines who had decades to figure out what it was they were really doing. We have maybe a few years to figure out what it is we're really doing and what we're really contributing, and I think that helps a lot to accelerate the maturing of the discipline. So I don't think we're there completely yet, but I think enterprise architecture, when it's well done, people do see the value. When it's not well done, well, it falls by the side of the road, which is to be expected. And there's going to be a lot of that, again, because of the relative youth of the discipline. But we'll get to the point where these other functions have, and probably a lot faster than they did.
So this is a work in progress, but that comes at a time when the organization is in transition. So that might be a good matchup. Nick, back to the survey. It seems that from my reading of it, business strategy objectives are being given more to EA, maybe perhaps because there's no one else in that Uber position to grab onto that and do something.
Sure, and I think that's very much the case. The caveat there is that it's not necessarily an ownership. It's a matter of participation and being able to weigh in on the business transformations that are happening and how EA can be instrumental in making those transformations successful. Now, given that, the idea is that it's been more at a strategic level. And so once that strategy is defined and you put that into play within an enterprise, the idea is how does the enterprise architecture really follow through with that if they are more focused on sort of just the strategy and not necessarily the implementation of that. And I think that that's a big part of the challenge for enterprise architects to understand how they percolate downwards the standards, the discipline of architecture that needs to be present within an organization to enable that strategy in transformation.
Len?
One of the things that I'm seeing is an idea taking hold within the architecture community that architecture is really about making the connection between strategy and execution. And if you look at the business literature, that problem is one that's been around for a long time. And because a lot of organizations develop really good strategies and then fail in the execution, and people, you know, bang their heads against the wall trying to figure out, we had such a great strategy, why couldn't we really implement it? And in a lot of cases, I don't know that anybody's actually done a study yet, but I would strongly suspect that if they did, one of the things that they would discover was there wasn't something that played the role of an architecture in making the connection between strategy and execution. And I see this as another great opportunity for architects to, again, if we can express this idea in language that the business people understand, and strategy to execution is language that business people understand, and show them how architecture facilitates that connection, there's a great opportunity for a win-win situation for both the business and the architecture community.
Chris Warren?
Yeah, I just wanted to follow the two points that were made here and say that the strategy to execution problem space is not at all peculiar to IT architects or enterprise architects. It's a fundamental business problem. Companies that are good at translating that bridge are extremely effective. And it's the role of architects in that's the important thing. We have to have the place at the table. But to imagine that the enterprise architects are solely responsible for driving execution of a strategy in an organization is a fallacy, in my opinion. And the need is to ensure that the team of people that are engaged in setting the strategy and executing on it are both, are compelling enough to drive that through the organization. And that is a management or an executive problem, a middle management problem, and then driving down to the delivery side. It's not peculiar to EA at all, in my opinion.
Andrew, at Wells Fargo Bank, you wear a number of hats outside of your organization that I think cross some of these boundaries. The idea of the enterprise architect or the business architect, where do you see this development of the occupation going, the category of it going, and what about this division between strategy and execution?
Right. In fact, I may not speak for the bank itself, but I, from my experience of talking from the grassroots to the executive level, I've seen one very common observation. Enterprise architects are caught off guard. And the reason there is that there is this new paradigm. In fact, there's a shift in paradigm that business architecture is the new EA. And I'm going out beyond my peers here in terms of predicting the future. So that is going to be the future. I, being the founding chairman of the Business Architecture Society, today I'm an advisory member of the Business Architecture Guild. We're writing or even rewriting the textbooks on enterprise architecture. We're creating a handbook for business architects, basically what my peers have mentioned, bridging strategy and tactical demands and being able to produce the value that business has been asking for.
Okay. We also see from the survey that process flexibility and standardization seems to be a big topic. And again, They're looking to the architects in the organization to try to bridge that, to move above and beyond IT and applications into process and standardization and automation across the organization. Ahmed, where do you see that going, and how do you think the architect can play a role in furthering this goal of process flexibility and standardization?
Then I see actually the way I see the market is consistent with the results of the survey, that I see that the emergence of the enterprise architect as business architect to work on a much wider space and maybe focus more in the business. And the number of catalysts for that, one of them is a business process, the rise of the business process management as a very important discipline within the organization. And actually that, in a way, had some roots from Six Sigma, which is really purely business aspect, but also from this SOA, service-oriented architecture, is actually itself now developed into business process decomposition and implementation. So that actually gives a very good immunization and support for the strategic decomposition of the whole enterprise as components, which with business process is actually connecting elements between this. So that's actually the business process architects is actually becoming participating as a business architect to with using this business process as a major aspect for enabling business transformation. So I'm very encouraged with this development of this business architecture with many of the supports. By the way, another catalyst now is a cloud. The cloud will actually purify or refine the enterprise architecture because all the technical details may be actually outsourced to the cloud provider, where the essence of what IT actually will support the organization becomes the business process and services. So that's another catalyst. However, on one hand, I'm encouraged with the result of the survey and what I've seen in the organization. But on the other hand, I'm disappointed that enterprise architecture hasn't developed this economic and business basis yet. I agree with Len that 20 years is a short time. On the other hand, it's a long time for not to be actually in applying this discipline in a consistent way. And we get actually much more penetration, especially with large organization, commercial organization, and not the academic side.
So if we look at that potential drop between the strategy and the execution, someone dropping the ball on that transition, what Ahmed is saying, the cloud computing could come in whereby your strategy could be defined, your processes could be engineered, and then the tactical implementation of those could be handed off to the cloud providers. Is that a possible scenario from where you sit, Dave?
I think it's a possible scenario. I think more driving from it is ability to highlight the process or business service requirements and not tie them to legacy investments that are not decomposed into a cloud, where the tightness of business process, business organization to tangible hardware and software asset, where you have a separation to a cloud, you're required to make the ability to, you are required to have the ability to improve your execution. And the barriers in execution are, in our current world, very closely tied to our legacy investments in software asset, physical asset, which are very closely tied to our organizational structure.
How about you, Chris Ford? Do you see some goodness or risk in ameliorating the issue of handing off strategy to a cloud provider?
So my personal view is that any organization that hands over its strategic planning or execution activity to a third party is abdicating its own responsibility to its shareholders if they're a profit-making organization. So I would not advocate that position at all.
You can't outsource thinking?
You can, but then you give up control, and that's not a good situation to be in. You need to be in control of your own destiny. I think in terms of what Ahmed was talking about, you need to be very careful as you engage with a third party that they're actually going to implement your strategic intent. So you need to have a really strong idea of what it is you want from the provider, articulate it clearly, and set up a structure that allows you to manage and operate that with their strength in the game. If you just simply abdicate that responsibility and assume that that's going to happen, it's likely to fail.
So there will probably clearly be instances where handing off responsibility at some level will make sense and won't make sense, but who better than the enterprise architect to make that determination? Ahmed?
I agree on one hand that actually the organization shouldn't abdicate its the core function of the business is defining a strategy and then executing it right. However, actually, I just want to cite an example, which is maybe actually I'm seeing it as a trend, but it's a very slow trend, outsourcing of architecture itself to other organizations. And we have one example in Australia, a very large organization, which is gives IBM the project execution delivery organization. And part of that was the architecture. And actually, I was part of this to define with the organization, with their enterprise architecture, the demarcation between what they outsource and what they retain. Definitely, they have to retain certain important part, which is strategy and high level. But the I think outsourcing is a catalyst to be able to define what's the value of this architecture. So the number of architects within our sort of organization was looked with a great scrutiny and say, and they're monitoring what the value of this they delivering, and the value was demonstrated. So the team actually grew, not shrunk.
I think this is, in terms of outsourcing knowledge, skills, and experience around architecture, I think that this is a wave of activity that's going to be coming. My point wasn't that it wasn't a valid way to go, but you have to be very careful about how you approach it, right? Mm-hmm. But I think that what we will see my experience out of the Indian subcontinent has been that having a bunch of people labeled as architects is a different thing than having a bunch of people that have the knowledge, skills, and experience to deliver what is expected. But in that region and in Asia and China in particular, what I'm seeing is a recognition that there's a market there, that in North America and in Europe, there is a gap of people with these skills and experience, and folks who are entrepreneurial in their outlook in Asia are certainly looking to fill that gap. So I think that Ahmed's model is one that can work well and will be a burgeoning model over the next few years. You have to build the skill base first.
Thank you, Chris Ford. Well, hold on. Andrew, you had something?
Yeah, I believe there's no disagreement about what's happening today, but I think the most important question is why, asking why there's this shift, as Nick was saying, that there's just shift of focus, and definitely outsourcing is that symptom of that shift. And if you look back previously in the academe, they've mentioned that in any organization, there are two forces that try to control the structure. One is the technostructure, which EA is belonging to, and the main goal of a technostructure is to perpetuate themselves in power, put it bluntly. And then there's the other side, which is the shareholders, which is to maximize profit. And you've seen that cycle go back and forth, and today, unfortunately, is the shareholders who are winning. And outsourcing for them is a way to manage cash flow, to control costs, and unfortunately, we are getting hit.
Nick, going back to the survey, when you asked about some of these hot trends, cloud, outsourcing, mobile, the impact, did anything jump out to you that might add more to our discussion around this shifting role and this demarcation between on-premises and outsourced?
Sure. and absolutely, the whole concept of leveraging external resources for computing capability is something we drove at, and what we did find the purpose behind that, and it's largely plays into our conversation behind the impact to the business. It's more of a cost reduction play. And that's what our survey respondents replied to and said, you know, the reason why the organization was interested in cloud was to reduce costs, which is a very interesting concept when you're looking at why enterprise architecture has, you know, in terms of its value, when the business sees it as a cost play as opposed to a revenue-generating, profit-making sort of kind of endeavor, it causes some need for balance there.
So cutting costs, but at what price? Len?
Yeah, I think this is interesting. The most interesting thing for me about cloud is that it replays a number of scenarios that we've seen happen over and over and over and over again. And it's almost always the case that the initial driver for the business to get interested in something is to reduce cost. Mm-hmm. But eventually you squeeze all the water out of that stone and you have to start looking at some other reason to keep moving in that direction, keep exploiting that opportunity. And that almost invariably is added value. And I think what's happening with cloud is it's forcing people to look at a lot of the issues that they started to address with SOA, but the problem with SOA was a lot of vendors managed to turn it into a technology issue. So buy this product and you'll have SOA, which distracted people from thinking about the real issue here is figuring out what are the services that the business needs. Once you understand what the services are that the business needs are, then you can go and look for the lowest cost provider out in the cloud, make that connection. But then once you've already made that disconnection between the services that the business needs and how they're provided, you can then start orchestrating the services on the business side from a strategically driven perspective to look at the opportunities to create added value. And you can sort of assemble the implementation that delivers that added value from resources that are already out there that you don't have to rely on your own in-house organization to create from scratch. So there's a huge opportunity here, but it's accompanied by an enormous risk. If you get this right, you're going to win big, but if you get it wrong, you're going to lose big.
Ahmed, you had some thoughts?
Yeah, I think when we use the term cloud, like many other terms, we refer to so many different things. And the cloud definitely have, and the focus, I agree that the focus now on reducing cost. Okay. However, when you look at the cloud from as providing business pure business service, as SaaS, and not only that, actually a business process, orchestrated services, with perhaps outsourcing a business process itself, it has a huge potential to create this mindset for organization about what they're doing, okay, and which part they have to minimize its cost. But where is the service is a differentiator, they have to own it, okay, they have to invest so much of it, and they have to use the best around. So I think this is really, I mean, definitely the cloud will play in different levels, but there is a level where it will work in a business architecture, which actually distilling the enterprise architecture into the essence of it, which is understanding what the service do I need, okay, how I source these services, and how I integrate them together to achieve the value.
So the stakes are rather high. We have an opportunity where things could be very much more productive, and I'll use that term rather than just cost savings. But we also have the risk of some sort of disintermediation, dropping the ball and handing off the strategic initiatives to the tactical implementation and or losing control of your organization. So the question is, Dave Hornford, isn't the enterprise architect in a catbird seat in a real strong position to help determine the success or failure on this particular point?
Yes, but that gets to our first point, which was execution. We've talked about in this group the business struggle to execute. We also have to consider the ability of an enterprise architecture team to execute. And when we look at an organization that has historically come from and been very technically focused in enterprise IT, the struggle there is, as Andrew said, it's a self-perpetuating motion. I keep running into architecture teams that talk about making sure that IT has a seat at the table. That's a failure model. As opposed to going down a path where Len and Ahmed were talking about identifying what are the services that the business needs so that they can be effectively assembled, whether that assembly is inside the company, whether that assembly is partly with a outsourced provider, or it is assembled as someone else doing the work. But that gets back to that core focus of the sub-discipline that is evolving at an even faster rate than enterprise architecture, that's business architecture, where that line between strategy and execution, and we're 20 years into EA, but business, you can look at business literature from academia going back a much broader period talking about the difficulty of executing as a business. This problem is not new. It's a new player in it who has a capability to provide good advice. And the core of the IC for execution is an architecture team recognizing that they are advice providers, not doers. And they need to provide advice to a leadership team who can execute.
Anyone else want to add to this issue of the role and importance of architect, be it business or be it information or IT, and this interesting catalyst position we're in between on-premises and outsourced.
I have a comment to make. I think it was interesting listening to Dave's comments. I think that what we have to gauge here is that the state of EA varies in maturity from industry to industry and organization to organization. So for the function to be saying, I need a place at the table, is an indication of a maturity level inside an organization. And if we're going to say that an EA team who is looking for a place at the table is in a position to advise strategically the executives on what to do in an outsourcing agreement, that's a recipe for disaster. Okay, I agree. However, if you're already in the position of being a trusted advisor within the organization, then it's a very powerful position, and it reflects the model that you just described, Dana. So I think organizations and the enterprise architecture team at the business units need to be reflecting on where they are and how they can play in the model that Amit's talking about, Dave's talking about. I think there's there is no one-size-fits-all here from an EA perspective. I think it really varies from organization to organization.
Nick, from the survey, was there any data and information that would lead you to have some insight into where these individuals need to go in order to accommodate what Chris was saying? What do they need to do from a self-starting situation to be able to rise to these issues, even as these issues, of course, are variable from company to company?
Sure. One of the major focus areas that we found is that, when we talk about business architecture, the reality is that there's a host of new technologies that have emerged with Web 2.0 and emerging in grid computing and cloud computing and those types of things that, surely are alluring to the business. And the challenge for the enterprise architecture is to take a look at what those legacy systems that are already invested in-house and how an organization is going to transition that legacy environment to the new computing paradigms and do that efficiently and at the same time be able to hit the business goals and objectives. So it's sort of a conundrum that the enterprise architects have to deal with, because there is a host of legacy investment that is there. Quite frankly, in emphasis, we've seen a large uptick in the amount of modernization and rationalization of portfolios that has gone on with our clientele. And I think that's an important indicator that there's this transition that's happening, and the enterprise architects are sort of right in the middle of that, trying to coach and counsel the business leadership and at the same time provide the kind of discipline and the discipline that needs to sort of happen on each and every project, and not just the very large projects or transformation initiatives that organizations are going through. It's sort of the key point here is that the enterprise architects are in the middle of this game. They're very instrumental in bringing these two worlds together. And the idea that they need to have more of a business acumen and business savvy to understand how those things are affecting the business community is going to be critical.
Well, very good. We're going to have to leave it there. I do want to thank you, Nick, for sharing the information from your Infosys Technologies survey and its results. So thank you to Nick Hill, the Principal Enterprise Architect at Infosys Technologies. I'd also like to thank our other members of our panel today, Len Feshkins, the Vice President of Skills and Capabilities at the Open Group. Thank you.
Thanks for the opportunity. It was a very interesting discussion.
And Dave Hornford, the Architecture Practice Principal at Integritas. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dana, and everyone else.
And Chris Ford, Vice President of Enterprise Architecture and Membership Capabilities at the Open Group. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks, Dana.
And, of course, we've also been joined by Andrew Gitarte. He's the Enterprise Business Architect of Internet Services at Wells Fargo Bank. Thank you.
My pleasure.
And lastly, Ahmed Fatah. He's the Executive IT Architect in the Financial Services Sector for IBM Australia.
Thank you, Dana.
And I want to thank our listeners. You've been enjoying a sponsored podcast discussion in conjunction with the Open Group Conference here in San Diego the week of February 7th, 2011. I'm Dana Gardner, Principal Analyst at InterOperable Solutions. Thanks for joining, and come back next time.